A frog may have a watertight asshole, and if I get one more Scandoval update, I might croak.
A frog might have a watertight asshole, but I don't. No, that was off the cuff, but can I do my real one?
Yes, 100%. Okay.
In a world full of snakes, it helps to be such a charmer. That's pretty good.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that? Like, someone should use that.
I think someone just did, and that person is you. But yes, absolutely.
For real house gays of WeHo season 2 or whatever the fuck it's called. Did you hear the one that I pitched to Lisa Barlow?
No, tell me.
For season 2 of Housewives of Salt Lake City, I posted her photo of the cast, and I said, I'll have a large fry, a Diet Coke, and the truth. And she DM'd me and she was like, oh my God, this made my day.
Wait, that is actually genuinely iconic.
She should have used it.
She could use it next season.
I said it's public domain. Public domain.
It is the happy birthday of taglines, and I'm here for it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. Listen, we got talk about. I need to introduce the guest of guests who you all know, comedian, actor, writer, podcaster, television host, whose credits include the Showtime comedy I Love That For You, the feature film Fire Island, Love Trip Paris, now streaming on Hulu, and of course the podcast Las Culturistas with Bowen Yang. Welcome back to Andy's Girls.
Is this
Matthew Rogers?
Very excited. Is this my fourth time?
Oh my God, you're almost at SNL 5.
I'm almost at SNL 5. I've done your show 4 times and now Watch What Happens Live 4 times.
Oh my, the fact that, yeah, I think that's like an equal, equal experience.
I mean, the Clawfuss is basically the clubhouse and that's a rule of culture. That's rule of culture number 90. The Clawfuss is basically the clubhouse.
You know what? I'm saying this out loud. When you come back for your 5th episode, possibly tomorrow.
I'm taking one of the dresses.
You're taking one of the dresses. Number one, obviously. Number two, I think we should do some sort of I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yeah, we should. I love it.
Like next time.
Yeah, I love that.
Like not now, but next time.
You want time to prepare. I love that you threw it out there and then immediately were like retracting so that I wouldn't make you do one right now.
Did you see the fear in my eyes as soon as I said
it? It was, you're like me. You're not good at hiding it.
No, I'm not. I have one of those faces.
Yeah.
Which can be problematic because I have had experiences where like in awkward situations, I will tell you exactly how I'm feeling, which is either perfect for like reality TV or absolutely terrible.
You know, I think that it's advantageous in different areas. So for me, I'm an actor, so I have to remember sometimes when I'm auditioning or acting in something that I actually don't have to do much more than think about what it is, because I've gotten a note from casting directors a lot like, hey, like your face does a lot more than you think it's doing. You have a very expressive face, and you don't need to like act. You can just sort of do it and it reads. But then like so it's like, I guess in that way, it's like good to know that. And then also it's a note for life, because if someone's telling you something and you don't like it, know that your face is doing a lot already.
That's a really good point.
Like, I think I would be terrible at the show The Traitors if they picked me to be a traitor.
You know what? I've thought about that because I actually don't want to go on reality TV unless I do.
You would be good at The Traitors.
I think I would be good or terrible at it because I just really, I think I would look very suspicious. I would read as guilty because I would feel so nervous.
Well, I think that you'd be a really good faithful because I think that your pursuit of the truth reads as very honest.
Yes.
And that's what I feel like now that I've watched you've watched the U.S. season, right?
I watched U.S. and U.K.
I also just finished U.K.
Unbelievable.
And I think when I've seen
spoiler
both.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
You're about to. It's just you do whatever you want, but like just skip over this.
And
until,
I would also say
point.
It's worth it to watch both. And
yes!
I would say the U.K. is actually better.
I 100% agree.
And so starting the spoiler now, the U.S. season obviously was won by a traitor, the iconic Ceri Fields,
right?
Who, if you are a Survivor person, this was
finally
the most cathartic moment in reality television history,
right?
And then the UK season was won by 3 faithfuls, and I think honestly the reason why homeboy who gets to the end, who is a traitor.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was able to channel all his energy into what looked like an honest pursuit of the truth.
Right.
And then when he was by himself and had messed up his relationship with the other traitor,
right,
it read as just like desperate and doing the most.
Right, because he was like, I'll never talk to you again or something. Like, right. I'll ruin our relationship. And at that point, the faithful was like, something about this is very... Because you would never say
Hannah,
that.
Yeah. Right. Who really deserved all the money, to be honest.
Honestly, I was extremely into Hannah. And yeah. I thought going into it, because I do think, as many of the cast members have said during filming and in interviews, that I think the traitors have a huge, huge advantage when mm-hmm. it comes to like potentially winning. So I thought this was... I like almost wrote off the ending because I thought it was going to be another traitor. Mm-hmm. Win. So when she like threw the thing or whatever at yeah. the, I just couldn't believe it.
It's just so worth it to watch. It's one of those reality shows where I think it's also one of those things where on the couch you're like, oh, let me get in there. I want to do it. But it seems like such anguish to be on yes. Traitors. Like, even though you're so aware you're playing a game, like in both the US and UK seasons, like at the end, there was real emotional turmoil because it's literally a game of who can gaslight the most and the best. And there's nothing more crazy making than being gaslit like that, than being like made to believe something is truth when it's not. And that is that whole game. So it's very nefarious, but really fun.
It is also the dichotomy with Housewives, where Housewives are often trying to convince us everything is real and it's not a production. And Traitors is like attempting to try to convince the contestants that everything is fake, but they're arguing that it's real.
Right, right.
Which is why I felt like the reunion and the end of the finale for US was... It made me, I understood it, and you want to have those high stakes, but I also felt terribly for Sari that she felt guilty for winning. It's like, guys, remember the name of the show?
I don't think she actually felt guilty.
Well, I felt like she was being shamed a little bit for doing a really good job, and it's like, if you don't understand what she's doing in this, if you... Why go on? I know it's really unfair of me because you develop relationships and it's like you get a trauma
everything.
Bond. But I just felt like, can we just have a moment of like
celebrating her
right.
that she
But that's
beat
unfair because they also lost that money in that moment and they were like, whatever.
Yeah, but that money, they didn't lose the money because the money was never theirs. Like, you come
Good
there,
point.
You're competing to win the money.
Good
no,
point.
No one is taking money from you.
Right.
You. This is why I really resented the way that they acted at the end.
Right.
And I really don't like those two contestants. Mm-hmm. I think it was Andy and Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they acted entitled to that money when they, just like Suri or anyone who's tapped on the shoulder by Mr. Cumming to be a traitor, are competing for the money. And you lost the competition in a game where the name of that game was dishonesty and deceit. So you can't be personally hurt and then offended and then, you know, weirdly vindictive and like, you know, like weird to her at the end for winning the game you signed up to play.
Yeah. And I felt like if they didn't get that in the moment, which I genuinely understand, and you're reacting with shock and you're dealing with the fact that, oh my God, I thought this person, all this was really real, and you're trying to process that. And you're so inside of it that you can't see outside of it. But I just thought by the reunion.
Yes.
I just kind of thought like, well, they processed it and they were like, you did great. You were a queen at this. And I just
didn't.
They didn't at all. Which again, I was like, guys, at this point, we really haven't processed that this is, she's still a good person. She's just better at her job.
Also, I'm sorry, but if you didn't know who Suri Fields was when you walked in that door and you didn't understand that she is who she is, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, this woman is a master manipulator for decades. She is a noted reality television competitor. She is one of the all-time greats. So for you to play yourself like that and to have that lack of knowledge is only on you. Also, I'm sorry, but I do think it's a little weird, and like, I think because she's a woman of a certain age, and this also happened on UK until they realized Amanda was the traitor.
Oh.
There's like this weird thing where they assume it can't be her.
Yes.
Because she's like mommy vibes.
Yes.
But like, mommy protect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mommy deceive.
Mommy dearest.
Mommy betray.
Right. Mommy betray.
Mommy betray.
Yeah. Yeah.
In order to protect her family and feed her family, which is what Suri was there to do too. And the other thing I don't like is this like hierarchy of I need the money the most. Like that's relative. And also it's not about who needs the money the most. It's about who's best at the game. You know what I'm saying?
I did a day of casting as like a essentially a, I don't know, production assistant 900 years ago for Deal or No Deal, where they were just like, just get through the couple people out of the bajillions that you talk to, just like eliminate who you need to eliminate to get them to the next round. And it was so difficult and awkward because people would go up and be like, the reason I should be a contestant is because of all of these terrible tragedies that have happened in my life, which you're processing and trying to be respectful, but also like that doesn't make you good for TV.
No, it does not.
And so that's kind of the difficulty. Like you can bring a lot of circumstance and experiences, but that doesn't necessarily
make you compelling
and make the storytelling compelling, make right. that narrative storytelling. Like, are you able to communicate that? Are you still charismatic? Like, and that I felt terrible because it was people like coming up, like begging and sharing their experience. And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, also there's like a degree of desperation when it comes to that, like where it's like, you know, you also don't want to put someone on television who is so desperate and needs it that badly because it doesn't feel good for the audience when that person does lose. You know what I mean? Like when that person fails and they've had a really compelling personal story, like that's almost like a reason not to go through with it because then it's just heartbreaking and not entertaining.
Yeah.
It's a fine line.
Yeah.
With this casting of reality television.
I mean, and I think there's a through line even to the way that we sometimes insult housewives by saying like, you're desperate, you're looking for your 15 minutes. And it's like, babe, everybody on Housewives is looking for their 15 minutes.
Right.
Everybody is going to do something to keep their job. Obviously, there are varying levels and degrees to it. But ultimately, you're watching a bunch of performers, not meaning that everything is fake, but it's everyone is slightly elevated in who they are when they go on a show like this.
Right. I think that the only time I feel like I don't like a housewife is when I feel like there's a level of hypocrisy in how they present and live their life.
Okay.
And what they demand of others and how they try to get something out of others. Like for me, that's why I'm never going back on Gisele and Robin. You know what I mean? Like to like talk Potomac for a second.
Please do it.
And I feel like every time I'm on Watch What Happens Live recently, like Potomac comes up.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like a lot of people seem to be on my side about the Gisele and Robin of it all. It feels like it's kind of come to a point of no return with them where it's now just abject reality that they withhold so much and demand so much. And I view what they do as bullying on that show. But also it's weird because there are some people who are also like you're too harsh on them, like especially Robin. And my thing is just like, I understand that, but the thing is, like, at what point do they stop getting away with this stuff?
Yeah, and at what point is passion bad? Like, there was a Watch What Happens recently with LVP and Andy where they were talking about the vigilante justice passion of people with the Scandoval, and you could apply that kind of ideal to any number of heightened combative conversations when it comes to housewives. And it's like at a certain point, people are going to feel really passionate.
Yeah.
At what point does it turn? I mean, with Gisele and Robin, I think it's complicated because people have an understandable, some people, not everyone, but a lot of people have understandable anger about feeling deceived as viewers because of what we now know that Robin discussed behind a paywall.
I don't think, you know what, it doesn't anger me or like offend me that they want to hide certain things about their life.
Okay.
What bothers me is the hypocrisy in how they treat Candace and Wendy.
Okay.
And like, I just think Potomac feels like ugly right now because of the way that I feel Candace and Wendy get treated by specifically them and also Ashley and Mia, but I don't even really think about Mia because Mia, it's such a show that it's just like, okay,
stop laughing. It's just
like she's just really like, she's, I think, desperate to remain on television, and that's like something that she'll figure out. But with Gisele and Robin, it's just like the way that I feel they treat Candace and Wendy that's when it becomes an issue for me with like, okay, well, what about your life? You know, because I feel like what gets lost in the conversation about like the way Wendy is being treated by them is the fact that the reason why they're in conflict at all was because they brought in that storyline about Eddie cheating.
Oh my God.
And they rode that hard all the way and like never actually paid for that, because then it pivoted to, oh, Wendy talked to me crazy and said, you know, all these things, people are going to see you for exactly who you are. Like, you don't even have a real relationship, which, you know, those things are true, but I think Giselle and Robin are so good at like pivoting the narrative that we've actually forgotten about why the Wendy conflict started in the first place, which is because Robin was calling Wendy loose and saying that how could she take herself seriously as a professor and also present her body this way, and specifically like, and, you know, pretty explicitly like put her on the spot about her appearance and her body and her self-esteem and like her marriage and relationship, like when that felt like a real like left turn in their relationship. And then Giselle was so like callous about the way she talked about Wendy's marriage, which, by the way, was never actually in jeopardy. And meanwhile, you look at their lives and you find out they're withholding stuff about it. It's like, I just wish that we would walk it back sometimes and think, how did this conflict even start? And it's because they were so cruel and unfair to her in the housewives game of it all about her personal life and her body. Mm-hmm. And like, it just, I don't know. The whole thing feels really like bullying to me. And that's why I feel like they need to be looked at with a microscope, because I don't think their behavior is above board.
Okay, two questions relating to that. Would it have been an easier, which is a terrible word to use, would it have been potentially more understandable or digestible if they had said, instead of any comments about her body as an indicator of anything, if they had simply said, your personality feels different?
I think had they been like...
And not your tits?
I think that they were like... What they were getting at, which of course I understand, is this is a whole new Wendy, is something else going on. You know what I mean? Not, well, you know, the blogs say this and it's probably this. And then, you know, getting Ashley to come in and saying there's like cheating rumors, et cetera, like all these things. I just think had they gone about that in a way that suggested to me they were actually caring about this person, instead of just saying, well, we said it because we were caring about you, da-da-da. Like, it's about the presentation, but also Giselle doesn't really care. You know what I mean? Like, she came in there and was messy. Like, that's just who she is. That's how she is. She's gotten away with it for such a long time. I just think when it was very apparent that she was going to get away with it with Wendy, then she sort of moved on to Candace, who did not let them get away with it. Because it's like, oh, now we're sensing the pattern of you're coming for our husbands. Meanwhile, your life is not even on this television show. And I just feel like it's hard for the Robin thing to come out about the paywall and the DMs and the hotel room, etc. And them not to feel like, oh, this is something you knew about, both of you.
Right.
And yet you made this Chris situation with the reunion in the hotel room into this huge deal, knowing that your situation was not necessarily above board and wasn't even like depicted on the show. You know what I mean?
So how do you then feel about the cast moving forward?
I think that they really can't move forward, right?
Well, I think there needs to be some restructuring.
Well, how would you restructure it?
Well, I think it's like genuinely obvious that Robin would be a friend of, because I do think we should talk about the Juan stuff. So she needs to be filming, but she's not giving me full-time energy right now.
It just feels like they, for whatever reason, Bravo is so married to Giselle and Robin as a thing. And especially now that like Robin has this narrative that they could explore, like this is an active storyline in her life. So I wonder if she is going anywhere. I feel like on face value, it's like people that watch the show and are like, well, they need to be held accountable for this type of thing. It's not really up to us. All that really matters is that they feel they can put a compelling show together. And of course, the show I would want to watch would probably be more about like Candace and Wendy and their friends, and I still do love Karen Huger. I think that that's like a way you could pivot the show. But is that what Housewives of Potomac is? You know what I mean? Like, is that the story of the Real Housewives of Potomac? And I don't know. So I'm completely lost on Potomac right now. I thought it ended ugly and it didn't feel good for most of the season, which was disappointing because I thought the season premiere was so great.
I mean, I have to be very honest in saying I really do not want to see a Potomac move forward without Giselle.
Really?
For
what reason?
Because I think she's a fantastic housewife. I might disagree vehemently with the Chris stuff, how she's behaved herself, the level of punishment she seems to be interested in, like, assigning to Candace for various...
Right.
For whatever reason.
You're still not a Candace fan.
I thought she had her best season yet. I completely sympathized and empathized with and agreed with the majority of what she said. I think sometimes her, like, the withering uterus of it all is tough because she has me, like, in the palm of her hand this season. I really genuinely, I understand her. I respect a lot of her responses, especially, like, what was the line? Like, come get Eric or find me Eric, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely respect the way that she has responded to this and gotten through it. And I would say absolutely the same for Chris as well. And I have a lot of upset about how that was handled by other members of the cast.
Right.
But she loses me with anything that veers into... There's a difference between, like, neck ankles, which I think is
hilarious,
funny,
yeah,
and some of the other
stuff,
and then
stuff. The like withering uterus, and then I'm sure that like many people are upset about your white looking ass. Like,
well, I talk about that on the next Andy's Girls with one of my absolute faves who's also a dark-skinned black woman, and wanted to get her perspective because honestly I just feel, while I think that conversations need to happen and should happen with white content creators, I just do not have any. It's like completely, I think it's inappropriate for me to like say, because I don't, I am not a black woman. Giselle is, Robin is, Candace is, Dr. Wendy is.
They all are.
They all are. So like everyone on that stage, minus Andrew. So like, I just... Yeah. It's like not, it's not my, it's not my place.
I think that we can look at it and understand there is an issue there.
Mm.
And that's part of the bullying that I'm responding to. But I thought that they should have probably brought in a moderator for that discussion. I actually think polling the cast about how that discussion was going to go is not necessarily the best way to go about that, because then that puts the onus on the people that are, quote unquote, in his words, most upset about it,
right,
or had the most to say about it,
right,
to be responsible for leading that discussion, which is obviously an emotional one. And, you know, I thought there was a ball drop there, but I do think there is a ongoing conversation that needs to continue to happen with, as you're saying, the black community within the black community.
Right.
And probably they could have started that off on a better foot with a moderator and a longer discussion, because I've watched people's videos like Carlos King.
Yep.
I watched the Brooke Ashley. You know, they are wanting more of a conversation,
right,
to completely understandably.
Right.
And it's hard to just feel like that was enough. It probably didn't even come close to enough.
Yeah, and I think just the amount, I cannot imagine the amount of pressure that Candace was under in how she was going to...
She was clearly upset.
She was clearly upset, but like she has, it gets into, you know, respectability politics too, in like asking ourselves as members of the Bravo community when we talk about holding Candace accountable for her behavior and potentially criticizing her, the way that she's viewed by some members of the Bravo community and by several members of her cast, it's like they put her at, they penalize her, I think, at a much higher level. So for her to be in a position where she's defining what this is and then trying to explain that, like, you need to listen to me and I have a different experience than you.
Yeah.
And I want to communicate that. But like when it comes to, is she quote unquote allowed to express anger? Mm-hmm. Like it gets into a lot of.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure on her and because of really ugly stereotypes.
Yeah.
Because of a system of.
Yeah. Racism.
Racism.
I also think too, that conversation does not happen almost at all on television,
yeah,
and let alone on a scale this big. So there's also the knowledge that in embarking on that conversation, all eyes are turned,
right,
for pretty much maybe the first time to a conversation like this, and that in and of itself is a lot of pressure. It's like, I mean, any marginalized community in trying to represent themselves to a larger audience that doesn't already understand, they may have compassion for an issue, but they don't have an understanding of the issue. That puts responsibility on you, and you are a reality show cast member. You are not a like moderator on these issues. You are not able to literally sit there and have, you know, permanence or whatever on the issue, or like perspective on the issue, because you're in it. Mm-hmm. And I just wish they would have had a moderator.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I get into this on the next AG, but yeah. I just feel like there were aspects where I'm like, the second part of what Candace said in response later on, I just thought to myself, like, did you need to include this part of...
Because she's clearly upset about it.
She's clearly
upset. Which is, again, why she probably was not the person to lead the discussion, because she's operating at a level of emotion and also, like... You know, she is the person that's probably going to be targeted the second she slips up. And then, you know, in the eyes of many, she slipped up in that moment where she called Giselle out at the end. And then it feels like the discussion goes back to one because of the way the audience views Candace. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And does the cast then negate the point of what she said and what she spoke about previously at length, noting that, you know, again, as a white woman, I have no idea of the triggers that Giselle and Robin specifically have felt and dealt with.
Right.
And ultimately, they are black women. I'm a white woman. But I just, their responses in that moment, I'm like,
yeah,
this is a part of the conversation that Candace was talking about. Right,
exactly. And it can't be handled in 2 minutes. I don't know where the cast goes. I feel like even more than Beverly Hills last year, they need a break. I think cameras need to go down on that show for a while.
I could not agree more.
It's very toxic.
Yeah, and I still like, again, Robin, I don't know. Giselle, I still want her on the show.
I don't get that. And
plus that, I do think she's a good housewife. You know, I might disagree with her moves and I think she should be called out, but she is, to me, like, in some ways, has been kind of the ideal.
I mean, she's definitely a star.
A star.
She's definitely a star. But I just feel like, you know.
you're in pain right now.
No, I'm not in pain. It's just like.
Yeah,
she's certainly, when you think about Housewives of Potomac, I think you think of two people. I think you think of Giselle and Karen.
100%.
And I think that's really where the show started. That's why they have such ardent fan bases. And I completely understand that they're both very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, it's like you get to a place where I wonder if we can even move forward. For example, I would say the same thing with Teresa and Melissa.
Mm.
I am personally on Melissa and Joe's side. Mm-hmm. I understand that more than I can understand empathizing with Teresa. That being said, can I see the writing on the wall? Yes. I don't think Melissa can continue on the show because her husband doesn't play ball. And I think in the ways he does play ball, and I really like them both. I was on Watch What Happens Live with her, and he was there, and they're both great people.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they'd be better off personally not being on this, or maybe with a spinoff show if that's something they're interested in, if they want to do that. Because it just feels like, from a personal standpoint, it's very painful for them. And also on a reality television level, we can't continue to watch this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you continue to watch Teresa and Melissa do this?
You know, the question of can I continue watching it versus do I find value in talking about the current season, to me, are very different questions. Like, can I continue watching it? Do I think, you know, the current plotline could survive what is currently going down in real time and what we know happens by the end of the reason, by the end of the season. No, because
we're ahead of it.
There was a physical altercation, whatever happened. They didn't go to the wedding. It's done. Like, they've both said, both sides, both warring factions have said, we've made peace with the fact that the absolute best thing that we can do is not have each other in our lives and not pretend that that's a goal.
Yeah, Melissa said that to me to my face. At Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
I was like, do you think there's any way?
Was this during your commercial or was this?
It was right after.
Okay, great.
And I was like, is there any way? And she said, no, I don't think I'll ever talk to that woman again in my
life. No, Matt.
Yeah. And I asked Joe, I was like,
I
was like, how are you? And he was like, you know, I'm getting to the point where I can be okay. But it clearly eats him up. I mean, what you see on the show is extremely real, which is, you know, again, part of what makes it such riveting television is that it's so real. But then actually talking to them, like when cameras literally go down and it feels like it still eats them up, that's sad. And, you know, they truly do miss their nieces, too. That's really sad, too.
So,
which is a whole other fucking can of worms.
Yeah. And I think it's really
dark.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
Where do you land on all that?
So I, on like the political spectrum of Tree v. Melis, I have always leaned more organically, definitely Team Melis.
Yeah.
And I feel like I understand over the course of maybe this current season, I understand Teresa better than I have before. I've like really grown, because during the real true dark ages of Tree v. Melis, I had a lot of visceral anger toward Teresa and toward what I saw as behavior that I thought that I really could not understand. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was really dark. And now I understand more of Teresa's perspective. Not to say that I lean more Tree, but I'm much more open to like hearing her and empathizing with her experience. And I find myself incredibly confused about specific like text releases and things noting that I really truly have no trust about Louis's intentions, nor his behavior, nor the impact of his behavior, and the peace, love, and light on how that has maybe potentially.
I don't think he is trustworthy.
I don't think he's trustworthy. And I genuinely think even people who are heavy Team Melis, I think the majority of people just want Teresa to be happy.
That's how
happy,
I feel.
Right. Yeah. And I just, I'm nervous for her, but I want her to be happy. I want to be wrong. I just, every like little hair on my arm is going up about something him. Isn't right here, because you can go off of, who was it, Gia saying everything was great
until
and then
Louis,
I don't even think
she realized what she was saying.
I don't think anybody did. I don't know that they would agree. I don't think she would agree with it if she was asked again, because she would say it had nothing to do with that. I was just marking in my head what year took place, and I'm thinking like something. I don't know if, and you could argue potentially that maybe Teresa, maybe something changed when Louis entered the picture, because maybe she needed her brother less.
Yeah, I think that's true. And
which
I
is
also
possible,
think,
and it doesn't mean that he's a piece of shit, that, you know, what's his fate? Louis is a piece of shit, but I do
this
think
is,
he's a piece of shit.
I think that Teresa is in therapy, and I would wager that Joe Gorga is not.
100%.
And that's I think, a big difference, is that I feel like Teresa is literally embarking on this path of self-betterment and wanting to forgive and move forward. And I think that for Joe Gorga, and I understand this because of growing up around men like Joe Gorga my entire life, is that it's extremely hard. They are very emotional. And I think he would even really consider himself someone that's very in touch with his emotions. He is. But I don't think he's really explored and understood on an individual level and really done hard work about why he gets as angry as he gets, why he feels as betrayed as he does, why he feels in a really micro way, looking within, why he feels this way towards her. I think that I'm not going to armchair it, but
welcome to
it. Right. It feels like her being like, I'm better now, I'm moving on, I'm happy, namaste, triggers something in him where he's like, well, what the fuck about everything you've
right.
done? What about the way you've treated my wife? What about the things you have said about me? What about the physical ways that you have like attacked people around us? What about all of that? And he feels, I think, looking at the situation, and maybe Melissa as well, I think she is also more exhausted because she is in the thick of it. But I think they feel like it's really crazy that you just get to get away with all of this at the end. And she is someone who is like, you know what? I've been through a lot of stuff, talking about Teresa now. Mm-hmm. I am happy. I want to be better. I want to move forward. For he wants accountability. She wants peace. And even in the phone call where she calls and says, do you want to make peace? Because I guess for her and Louis, it's that easy. For Joe, it's just not that easy. Do you know what I mean? That's my read on the situation culturally and in terms of like the way that their lives have played out on this show, and just knowing how men are in that tri-state area, very Italian, very masculine, very, you know, I'll say chauvinist, not necessarily derogatory, but sometimes, you know, he does act a certain way. He just hasn't done the work and doesn't want to do the work because he's just too angry and upset.
I also don't know how in touch with his feelings he is. I think he's in touch with expressing.
He thinks he is.
Do you think that he is?
I think
that he does?
I think he feels that being emotional means he's in touch with
right,
his feelings.
Which is not the case.
And I do not think, while I don't think Melissa is unable to be really honest with him and express her feelings and tell him what he should be doing in her view, I think it's probably frustrating to be married to someone like Joe Gorga, because I know he runs the show. I know that even though she's a strong personality, like his inability to move on is her inability to move on. And I actually think that's why she got so upset at the engagement party. Or the housewarming party, whatever it was. Maybe it was the housewarming, yes.
Yeah. Because he didn't show up.
I think Teresa saying chosen family and everyone, all that stuff, that definitely was upsetting. But I think what was ultimately the most upsetting for Melissa was frustration, because she was looking around and realized she has less and less of a place there, even as an individual. And I think it's a holistic frustration more than it was her being upset at any one comment. That's how I feel. Is, you know, it's a loss of family and friendship and place for her in a social and honestly professional way. Because I don't know how we continue watching this dynamic.
Yeah, and the reality is
they're not letting go of Teresa.
No matter what Melissa does, I think even family specific, it will never be enough because Joe is what matters here. It is the Joe and Teresa. It's the actual sibling dynamic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's probably some frustration for the fact that Juicy Joe was never put under the microscope.
Right.
The way that Melissa was, and Teresa was never asked to be held to such a high standard when it comes to ensuring that your spouse behaves.
Yeah.
As obviously Melissa has been.
Right.
And also, I just think, like, when it comes to the chosen family line, I don't think Teresa would have said it had Joe been there. I think Teresa was like, I'm going to make things even. My brother doesn't show up, so yeah. I'm going to make a fucking joke about
She's
it.
She's still going to be who she is always. And you know what I mean?
But I don't
mean?
Think like, that's a... I think that she would have... I think she was just acknowledging the fact that her brother was ghosting her.
Yeah. I mean, it was the elephant in the room, and so maybe she felt like she had to say something. Was it a perfect comment? No. Did it make sense coming from her? Yes. But it's just... I think it's pretty clear. Like, she thinks that because Louis has come into her life and he's so about the yoga and the namaste and the moving on and the, you know, not raising your voice and not, and trying to be conflict averse, she thinks that there can't be anything nefarious about that.
Yeah, because it seems so healthy. But, toxic positivity. Hello.
Right.
Welcome to
right.
the wellness industry.
And I think that, you know, this idea that he had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
Well, I also think, like, it doesn't mean you can't find value in what he's saying. In
no.
those text messages where he's talking about reality TV ruined your family and it's time to heal and go to her birthday party and we're trying to involve you. Like, it doesn't mean that that couldn't be positive for Teresa with her growth as a human person.
But Joe will never play ball.
Well, but that's the problem. But then it's like, what do you do with that? You need to show up. Like, show up because you're filming the fucking show. It's like they have...
He feels wronged and has too big of an ego.
But then don't say you want to move forward.
I don't think he is saying that.
I think he...
I think he's...
He keeps using that language, but he doesn't mean it, and that's the problem. Just say you don't want to move forward.
Yeah.
We would not have this issue. They would no longer be on the show,
if
we would not have this current issue.
Yes, I think... But the ways in which they feel is the only way to move forward are so different. Like, she feels that she's doing individual work and is happy and can move forward from this place. He still needs repentance and to be told, Joe, you are right. I was wrong. And that's not going to happen because that, she feels, would set her back. They're at an impasse. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, no, it's no longer tenable. And I think the fact that all of their castmates and friends are like, it's no longer tenable. Mm. Like, Dolores being like, it's not happening, guys. Everyone needs to move on. I mean, like, everyone's just thrown in the towel. And now I think the show has to move in a direction. And I think it's actually doing a great job because I think they have amazing new cast members.
They did.
They did an amazing
right.
job.
Yeah.
Because all three of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Danielle is a star. I think that Rachel's really good.
Yes, I agree with
and
this.
And I think that Jen... is Fessler. Adding fun color.
Mm-hmm.
Fessler. And I actually think, if I had to make a prediction, mm-hmm. I think it's the final season for Melissa and Jen Aiden.
Really?
I think Jen Aiden is, it's giving Rinna. It's giving...
No.
It's giving...
It's that bad?
It's
That's
giving,
the ultimate insult to say that someone is giving Rinna.
Well,
I'm serious.
And here's what I'll say about Rinna. At one point, one of the best housewives. And I would say the same thing about Jennifer Aiden. When she is really, really great, I think she's one of the best housewives. She's pure, dumb fun.
Wow.
She gets things going. She gets it started. Her family is unlike anyone I've seen.
True.
Like, I really enjoy watching her.
Mm-hmm.
But she is not operating from a grounded place as a person on reality television because she's so hurt. This Bill thing is... I think that... they, in never having dealt with the infidelity when it happened in a real way, and then it resurfacing on reality television, has really done them harm, and they need to work on it before she can come back to the show and be someone that, like, the audience can be like, I understand her motivations and actions. I don't know.
Olivia sang at Danielle's daughter's birthday party that she wants to be like a relationship therapist to help people when they want
heartbreaking.
I really was like, this is, you know, this is Gia's song.
Very similar to Gia.
It's like the child who knows too much and has processed it and is trying to figure out a way to express it that feels healthy and good where they can contribute. But I just feel so much empathy, honestly, for like all the kids on Jersey, but Olivia's so young, and I just really felt for her in them, as Gia was when she sang that fucking pizza song.
And Gia going into law to be able to help people like her father and mother ultimately someday. I mean, like, this is real trauma for these kids. Mm. And you know, you see it also on Miami with Lisa's kids. Like, Lisa's son being like crying and saying, I'll never get married. And her saying, and he had never even said the word married before. Like, he's traumatized.
Yeah.
Because he watched his father stop loving his mother and watched her anguish. And also watching cameras come in and out and depict it, watching your family act one way and then another. You know, it's really traumatizing for these kids. And she talked a little bit about it on the reunion again. But when she said in the Bahamas, like when they asked her about how her son was dealing with it and he had thrown a fit and tantrum and didn't want to go to camp and said, I'm never going to get married. That's something that he's going to have to unpack for a long time and has to fucking really not sit in her spirit. It's really hard to watch. The kids are having a really hard time, like, franchises wide, you know?
All of that being said, Jen Aden's final, that really takes me aback.
You don't think it's her
last just
season?
Hadn't considered it. Well, I really, it's like,
maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there as a theory because I don't think Melissa will be the only cast member to leave.
There's nobody else who it could. Dolores isn't going anywhere.
No, Dolores is having a great season. And Dolores is one of my favorites of all time.
You cannot, it's literally like, you just can't dislike her. I'm sure that there are people out there, but I don't know any of them. I mean, don't know a single
Dolores
one.
Dolores and Margaret, I think, are safe. Because I think Margaret is also friends with all these new housewives and stuff. Though, you know, Margaret, too, is on one. I think Margaret is fucking on one this season.
Her responses to Jen Aden. It was like fucking drug addict piece of shit.
Yeah, drug addict.
It was giving pot. It was giving piece of shit co-core every day. I was like, simmer a little.
She's going too far. And also, like, Jen Aden, like, smokes weed. Don't call her a drug addict. Like, that was crazy. And look, I'm usually on Margaret's side because I just, I get it more. And I can understand why, because I can so clearly see why Jen is acting the irrational ways that she's acting, is because she's so deeply hurt.
Yeah.
Whereas with Margaret, I'm like, you don't really have a reason to be this upset,
right?
And get on Jen's level. Like, you could choose to come from a grounded place, but then you say, like, she's a disheveled drug addict, and I'm like, no, Margaret, no.
And I think she's probably feeling protective because she doesn't want her friends to maybe be taken away from her, which is the worst case scenario if Jen Aden turns someone. But I also think, like, again, as her reactions were a lot, and I don't know. It's like, how dare you say this stuff because we promised to move on? Well, you're going to move on with some baggage. You're going to move on and still feel a certain way about someone because of this specific thing. And it's also tough because it's like, babe, like, all of these women have watched the show. They already know what you did. So it's how are we going to change their memory regardless of what Jen says? And also, if Jen is calling up cast members, new or ongoing, to say, don't trust this person, she's not the first Jersey housewife. I feel like that's like what they do every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge them for that. So to say that this, I don't know, I kind of was like, and I'm obsessed with Margaret. I love her. She is incredible. She's genuinely funny and very quick and really, really smart. And I think really honest. And maybe she honestly felt rage in that moment. And in that way, I appreciate it. Like, if you really feel like this person's a piece of shit and you want to insult them in whatever form you feel like is the most derogatory in that moment, good on you for saying it, I guess.
I just feel like when it comes to I have these new friends on the show and you called them up to talk shit about me, here's the truth. Your friends immediately came to you and were like, this happened.
Right.
So you already won. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so just say to Jen, like, hey, if we actually are going to move forward, don't do this.
Yeah.
And then let Jen spin out because she's gonna. Mm. But you can't take the bait. Don't take the bait and go to that crazy level and be screaming in Jen Fessler's backyard. I mean, like, it was fun to watch, but at a certain point, it's just like, now we know where this goes. You're both just going to start saying crazy shit. And she got you to say she was a disheveled drug right. addict. And now you seem like she you're not on planet moment. Earth.
Can I just ask, what were your thoughts on Jen Fessler being like, Jen, you got to go?
I would have asked her to leave my house too.
Really?
I was actually sitting there waiting and being like, okay, at some point she's going to ask Jennifer to leave.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think she was genuinely concerned about the that neighbors. Level of volume.
Yeah.
And I think she was overwhelmed and yeah. it was no longer fun. And her friend is Margaret. So I think it was less a thing of like, hey, Jennifer Aiden, fuck you, get out of my house.
Right.
And more, I need this situation to de-escalate. So I'm going to ask you to leave. Thank you for coming. That's how I feel. I didn't look at it like a particularly dramatic thing.
Yeah.
I looked at it like, this is my home, this is my event, and I no longer feel comfortable with the conflict, so you have to go. Hope you understand.
I didn't receive it in any way as her being dramatic in that moment. Right. I was just like, is that the thing to do? Like, I didn't know if like a final, like, shut the fuck up, but maybe it wasn't possible. Maybe she saw that it was impossible for this to continue. It needed to end, and the only way for it to end was to remove someone.
Right, right. I mean, that's what you do when you're, and also it's like, I think it was getting to a place where it obviously was taking place over a much longer period of time than we saw. And so it probably got really frustrating.
Yeah.
And really intense. And at that point, the thing about Margaret and Jennifer both is they're not going to stop.
No, they'll never stop.
They're not going to stop.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so crazy about it. You know what I mean? Is it's just like, okay, because this is a, we have a, you know, renewable resource of energy here, which is both of these women's anger and energy.
Yeah.
Like, we have to essentially cut it off. So I both anticipated and understood her asking someone to leave.
I also feel like one of the hallmarks or like most valuable aspects for any New Jersey housewife is the ability to express rage.
Yeah, I mean, they have so much of it, and just culturally, they don't deal with it. And actually,
but they know how to express it.
And can I say something? Just like, I feel like there's like, because I'm on Watch What Happens Live frequently, and I talk about this stuff in like a fun way, I think there's like this idea that like, I don't like these people and come in with preconceived notions every season. I start every season wanting to like everyone. I come in every season and I think, great, Giselle and Robin, like, I'm ready to like them this season. And then based on their actions, I always end up going back to the way I feel. And I never really change my mind on a housewife. The only housewife I've actively changed my mind about based on their actions is Monique Samuels. Like, but Teresa, I still root for her. You know what I mean? Like, I have an idea that I would get along better with Melissa and Joe than Teresa, just from understanding about who they are from growing up around people like that. And I also have personal convictions that are anti-Teresa because of her obvious political stances and the way that
she acts
and thinks. So that's like something I'm sorry, but I can't remove from it. I cannot remove her being on Watch What Happens Live and Andy Cohen saying, where does the president live? And her saying Mar-a-Lago. Like, that's something that I can't ignore because it's both a stupidity and a conviction that I think is like very telling. But I do come in every season wanting to see her succeed because how could you not? You know what I mean? Watching from the first season, you know what she's been through. You can see the growth. You watched this woman's family grow up. You know she's a good mother. I want to root for her. It's just that when she does things that I believe are beyond the pale and reminds me that she really will always be this person, that's when I come out as like, quote unquote, anti-Teresa. And the same thing with any housewife on any other franchise that I don't like. You know what I mean? Quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But I try every season.
Yeah, I think like some people, but I also, you know, I think I'm like myself open, but I definitely carry dislike for, you know, Rinna showing up at the beginning of the season. I wasn't like, wow, let's reset and see how she does. Right. I definitely was like, I think you're a piece of shit. Like,
I root for her to change.
I want you to produce well. I want you to be good at this, as I know you can be.
Right.
Or perhaps more realistically, as I know you once were.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't. I'm not like.
She was no longer coming from a grounded place.
I'm not rooting
place.
For her. I'm rooting right. for myself as a viewer to like enjoy whatever the fuck she does, or at least find it interesting.
What say you about the numerous cast photos of Beverly Hills we've gotten? The six of them.
What do you mean? What say me?
What I mean, there doesn't seem to be a new housewife.
Oh, I'm fine.
They just cut a couple.
I mean, well, who knows who will be introduced to the group? They literally, filming has been going on for X, you know, period of time.
You know what's weird, though, is it's like
you're
usually
saying from a number perspective, is it too few to like make something good?
I always like when there's more.
Agree.
And also, it seems like they did not introduce a new element into this cast. They've literally just chopped Rinna and that's it.
And is that going to be, is that a good or productive idea?
Well, I just want to know what you think about what about the cast.
I'm okay with it. I honestly am just like, thank fucking God Rinna's not there, because I was exhausted by it. She lost me because of her social media, which I no longer have access to. So like, a blessing
and a curse.
She blocked me when I think, it doesn't matter. I think I was like,
yeah.
Whatever. I think I said like racism is bad, and she literally blocked me from that story because of something she fucking said. I think it about Diana. I don't even remember. She didn't love it. But you know, I just kind of am like, I'm genuinely hoping that it's a good season. I also understand if it's a little bit of a restructuring season. I also feel very I just want them to have fun. I also feel like this opens up Erica in a way, because she's no longer going to have her bodyguard there. So it means maybe she'll be forced to like enjoy some of these people in a way that she never felt she had to, because she had Rinna and then Diana. And now it's like, God forbid, you may have to like fake your way to the top here and like really finding friendship with these people, which and also, you know, when you say stupid fucking shit when you've had too much to drink, and by that I mean like also, you know, like feeding your ego here and defensiveness and however that comes out.
Yeah.
You're not going to have someone dragging you away from the cameras right now.
It's going to be mea culpa vibes. It's going to be like her coming in being like, I've watched the last couple seasons. I've assessed and understood my behavior. I am who I am, but I'm going to try. I genuinely think that what we're going to see very early are individual lunches with her and Sutton.
Yeah.
Individual lunches with her and Garcelle, where she is going to say, I want you to know in a real way that I understand. I don't appreciate a lot of the ways that, you know, you've treated me, Sutton, or the ways that you've questioned me, but I understand it. And I feel like whether or not it's genuine or her wanting to remain on the show, that's what we're going to see. And I also think there's some stuff with Kyle to clear up, clearly. After like the way Erica and Kyle ended the season.
How did that? Oh, because of the fucking.
Because of the like
leaks and press stuff. And Yeah.
I mean, that reunion, that final episode did not end well with them. And then there wasn't even a toast at the end because Kyle was so upset.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The Kathy stuff. I mean, like that broke them. Watching Kyle like leave the Fox Force 5 and like sit down and like with Crystal and, you know, Garcelle and Sutton and like try to talk it out, like, you know, we're gonna see. But I will say that it's a make or break, I think, going forward in Beverly Hills. And I think that's why they pared it down for Kyle and Dorit, actually, because I think the prospect at Bravo of letting them go and bringing LVP back is something that they're interested in. I think so. Every single
time. I
would
think that Kai would be a foregone conclusion to always stay. To stay as long as she wants.
Not if she
doesn't. She might not want to stay there anymore.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's less about like Kyle as a mainstay and more about like, she may not want to keep doing this.
Yeah, she's been kind of referencing that in recent press stuff. She's like, I talked to Dorit. Everybody else, I kind of just have wanted to just completely disassociate from.
Right. And it seems like things are better now because
And she's not drinking.
She's not drinking. And I think it's giving new meds.
Maybe.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But
she could be on like her own journey and, you know, I mean, God bless my antidepressants. Fucking yeah. changed my life. Like, who knows what's possible?
Yeah.
Who knows what she's experiencing? Who knows what she's, how she's processing varying things? Who knows the ways that she's having a new beginning for right. herself and her journey?
They're in Vegas right now.
I mean, like, I don't, it's like, I feel weird in not having an opinion. I don't have an opinion. I just was like, Diana fired herself and
awful.
The worst, one of like top five worst housewives of all time, worst people of all time. And yeah. someone who like, I got into this conversation the last time Evan Ross Katz was on where he was like, so Rinna's your like number one, you hate her more than anyone. And I couldn't figure out how to respond in that moment because I couldn't remember anybody else's name. But like Diana for me is my number one trigger. Mm-hmm. I cannot get over how much, how bad she is. And I judge other people, including current housewives, for maintaining relationships with her.
Right.
Because I'm very unfair and unforgiving yeah. when it comes to Diana.
I don't understand watching that reunion, the way that Garcelle like was treated by Diana and then being like, yeah, we still wanted more Diana. Like if you're pro Diana, get a grip.
I mean, Garcelle being like, I'm done now. I don't want to. I mean, the woman fucking FaceTimed in.
And the woman, and she also.
Such a fucking pussy.
Yeah, Diana was done. She was done. And like, I was just, like, Garcelle.
That's the best kind of Diana, is a done
yeah,
Diana.
Yeah, Garcelle being like, I am not engaging with her anymore. She was done. Because Garcelle is like important to the show now. You know, like, Garcelle and Sutton are like the leads.
Yeah, which you know pisses off Rinna like nothing else.
Well, Rinna should understand, and I think she does understand like deeply if she were to be honest with herself, that watching the season, like, it wasn't good. Like, it didn't make sense.
No, it didn't.
And so, and also, if we can have fun, ultimately, and if there's not conflict and resolution because we're just not operating from a grounded place, then the show isn't going to be good. I would argue that Miami is by far the best franchise right now because it seems like those are real friends mm-hmm. who are having real issues mm-hmm. and there's actual conflict and resolution happening. And if there's not, probably we can see a world where there would be. Like, I get that Alexia and Marisol are over Adriana right now. Mm-hmm. I get that they don't like Dr. Nicole, but those four women are here to stay.
I think Adriana is definitely here to stay.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I think Adriana is a very...
Yeah.
I think she's a really, really fun reality show...
Going through a dark chapter.
...element.
Yeah.
Going through a dark chapter.
Having a tough moment right now.
And I also think, like, ultimately, you do want to keep exploring that plot line between her and Alexia and Marisol because you can see them all getting over it.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. I honestly love everyone in Miami so much.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I've grown to appreciate Gertie. I think it's tough for her because since she is a genuinely extremely successful wedding designer, planner, coordinator, producer, she hasn't been available for filming. And I think if there was a way to ensure, however possible, like with the, you know, bridal parties and whomever is signing contracts, that she, you know, can maybe delegate some of this, I think she would really be even more of a superstar.
I don't think of her as being not around.
I think there have been moments where she hasn't been around for like big stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't think of that because she's on every vacation.
There's been moments.
Yeah, I believe you. It's just I don't think of her.
Well, that's a credit to her.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think
it's perfectly cast. I think it's perfectly cast. 18 cast members. God bless. Yeah, love everyone.
I think that it's really good. I also think Kiki might be the best friend of all time. Like, she comes in and is hilarious every single time. She always delivers. That episode that ended with Adriana, like, almost, quote-unquote, losing her foot, that episode was one of the best Housewives episode in the past 5 years.
I honestly thought, I don't disagree, and I actually thought the reunion, I cannot get, we will never get this moment back in our life, this season of Miami, so we all need to, like, fucking appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I genuinely thought the first part of the reunion, I was like, this is one of the best reunion episodes I've seen, and I can't tell you how long. I was like, is this one of my favorites of all time? I cannot process it, except to say that, like, there were things that were revealed about, you know, the hot tub, other fucking shit that didn't make a trailer or anything else, where I literally was like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. Like, Alexia being in full Teresa mode at the tail end of, like, it's your fault if that your husband was fucking someone else, which was giving me, as she has been compared to, very much Teresa being like, if you're a strong woman, you can stop sexual harassment from that ever taking place, which is fucking ridiculous. Like, I was just getting some parallels here, but I genuinely die for Alexia, especially when I disagree with her.
She's the star of the show.
She's such a superstar. And if you had told me during the first iteration of Miami
that Alexia
would be like the center mojito or whatever the fuck they're holding, I would be like, which, a new Alexia?
Yeah.
I just can't.
Well,
it's Alexia Astrid. I just can't believe it.
That. So if Teresa is an Oreo cookie, Alexia is the vanilla Oreo cookie. And I am obsessed with the parallel.
Yeah.
And to know that they're actually really good friends is both something I want to be a fly on the wall for and never. But like, those conversations are probably crazy because you know they truly get down about how, like, yes, we are stars.
Yeah.
And they don't get it and they'll never get it. Like, and we get it. But that's just so unhinged.
Yeah.
Her being like turning to Lisa and saying, if you thought you were a star, you wouldn't have let Lenny treat you like that. That was so beyond the pale. And I just think what she doesn't understand is I think she genuinely thinks the show revolves around her. And it does in a way, but I actually think who the show revolves around when Alexia acts like that is whoever she's in opposition to.
Yeah.
Because she's so crazy that, like, when the camera cuts to Dr. Nicole being like, what? Like, we are Dr. Nicole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're having fun watching Alexia, but she's never going to be the true center.
Right.
Because she's unhinged and doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, but she's so grounded in her own truth and, like, engaged in her own life, that's what makes her an iconic housewife. And that's what makes this cast so good, is because you have the chaos agents who are so fun to watch and so larger than life, and the people who are entertaining in their own right, and they do things like the credit card, like the Amex Platinum being plopped in the lap.
Oh my God.
But who are also really grounded and compelling, and we can sit for that scene with Dr. Nicole and her father and have like an emotional connection to her. You know what I mean? Like, it's on every level really working.
Yeah.
Really working.
We need to appreciate this moment because I don't know, you know, knock on mirrored table, maybe we'll have it again with another show. I don't know that that will happen. I don't know that Orange County is going to be bringing us the
energy. I have hopes.
You do?
I have high hopes for Orange County because I'm a Tamra fan.
Yeah.
And like,
she called during the Watch What Happens and you couldn't think of her name.
Well, because you know what? You want to know what? I haven't yet like, of course I know her as a Orange County Housewife, but I only started watching OC a couple years ago, and she hasn't been on it.
Yeah.
So that she just wasn't top of mind for me as an OC housewife.
A current one too.
Right, because I haven't seen her experienced her on the cast yet. But I have gone and walked back and watched old episodes, and like, I get the power of Tamra, but I've not like marinated in a season where Tamra Judge is an active OC housewife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why she wasn't top of mind. She is, for me, my favorite OC housewife, and I'm excited she's going to come back because I can't wait to watch her and Heather Dubrow go at it.
Oh, God. Like, it's going to be so good.
Do you want to know why? It's because they're both really smart and convinced of themselves.
Yes.
But, and I also don't think they have hatred for each other. I think they think of it as like worthy. You know what I mean?
I think that they've probably developed hatred for each other at this point. I really do. Because Tamra goes very, very far. And sometimes that's deserved. And Dubrow, I think, thinks she's better than that. Than behaving in that way.
Well, that's her character game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Heather Dubrow, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
But, and like, being so convinced of that. Mm-hmm. And also, that's always going to chap someone like Tamra's ass. Because Tamra is literally, you're not better than me in a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like a perfect oil and water situation. And then the rest of them filling it out, like, I'm just really excited and interested to see how it happens.
It could be genuinely a strong season. I really strongly doubt that it would be in a Miami level, but nothing could. That's why we love it so much, because we can respect the excellence. But I do have to say, as someone who hashtag stands for Shan, my queen, my spiritual
love
housewife,
Shan,
my number one, Shannon Storms Bador, my former fish son, may his memory be a blessing, Archie Bador, who I introduced to her over Zoom, one of the best moments of my life. And she loved it, as of course she should. But I'm just nervous for how they'll use her in their custody battle. Like, I'm concerned that she's going to be stuck in the middle. I'm also concerned that they're both going to come for her, at least at the start. And, you know, Shan doesn't deal well under pressure, and I think she gets nervous. And I'm hopeful that
we're going to see two amigos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And also
occasionally a third amigo. Right. Can't forget her, because she filmed as a friend, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also Taylor's there, which is unrelated.
Love that. I mean, excited to see. I feel like spiritually, I see Taylor kind of being more of a Dubrow. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I just think that that's going to be the way the chips fall. I'm interested to see what happens with Gina.
Who might be a friend of.
Yeah, I
heard
this.
And Taylor might be holding a fucking orange.
Yeah. Is that true?
I have no idea.
So is that the rumor, though, is that Taylor over-delivered? And that's the rumor, right? Is that Gina was...
And there are, of course, so many... Like, there's a rumor that Robin definitely got demoted. And, like, who knows? Who knows with this stuff?
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is a rumor that Gina got demoted and...
Taylor took the orange.
Yeah, which is sort of similar to what happened in New Jersey, apparently.
With Jackie.
Yeah, and then somebody else who was maybe envisioned as a friend of became full-time.
Do you miss Jackie being full-time?
I really respect and appreciate Jackie, and I'm glad to see her there for group dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
But
no.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think that...
Watching you dance right now, flying around the Clophis doing a waltz. It's so funny.
Also, the way that you can like tell on my face how I feel, it's hard
for me
to spin.
You've stopped making eye contact with me entirely. I would say she seems happy about her role, so I'm happy for her.
I don't think she's happy about her role, no. And
she says she is. I take her at her word.
I take her at her behavior, which is that you can tell in some of these scenes, in some of these moments, that she feels competitive with, I think, the new housewives, because she understands a little bit of the challenge that's taking place.
Yeah.
And I feel for her in that. But I also am just like, I'm really, really okay with where the New Jersey cast is. And if it was choosing between Jackie and like Danielle, for example.
We have a star on our hands.
We do have a star. And even with Rachel Fuda, I'm like, she's giving me what I need.
Yeah, she's good.
She couldn't be, it was two Danielles, it would be one Danielle too many.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
It's 100% true. We have that chaos that is Danielle.
Yes.
And also, here's what I'll say. I buy every minute of it. Yeah. I buy every minute of it. That's like an authentic Jersey girl, that Barbie Staten party Island. For her daughter. Yeah, Staten Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Like that Barbie party is so the party that a woman like that with money throws. I really like her husband. Her daughter is hilarious.
I love her daughter. New Jersey has great kids. Honestly, they do.
But because you want to know why? Because they have so much personality.
Yeah.
And that's really how kids of that culture and that area are. Like they mm-hmm. do mouth off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as I say off. Because I watched the most recent episode of Jersey this morning and then I was on the phone with my mother and my accent was back.
Oh my God.
Because that show just takes it all the way. I mean, even
that.
You know, after Watch What Happens Live, I got a DM from Dolores.
Oh.
When she was like, we love you. You're so good. We love watching you on Watch What Happens Live. And I just responded. I was like, Dolores, you're one of my all time favorites. Every time I watch you, it takes me all the way home to Long Island.
Oh my God.
She reminds me of all my mom's friends when I was growing up. With Jersey, I just really respond to the authenticity. And
yes.
I think that's one thing you can say about Jersey is those are all really authentic people.
Yeah.
And I understand that people don't feel that way about everyone on that show. But I'm telling you my perspective of someone who's from that area. I recognize all of those people.
I honestly feel, I really think that they are all authentic.
I think people question the Melissa and Joe of it all.
Well, and the Jen stuff is... Well, then it's like, is it authentic to this person versus are they authentic
people.
Done and done?
Right.
And Jen Aiden, you could argue, as Melissa has said certainly several times recently, that Jen Aiden is putting on a performance and is truly not the same person when she's on camera versus off. Versus any critique about Melissa that you can make is I don't know that you can necessarily argue that she's, well, certainly you can, and I'm sure people do, but that she's inauthentic. You might feel like she's inauthentic in this circumstance,
right.
But I don't think she doesn't read to me as an inauthentic person.
Yeah. Well, there's such
overall versus Jen who literally feels to the cast members, I have to take them at their word on that she's truly a different person.
I guess there's litigation about Melissa still about the way she got on the show and the way she tried to get on the show. And it's so exhausting and tiring. And if she wasn't a family member of Teresa's, we wouldn't even have that because so many of these housewives are thirsty and have been to be on the shows. She gets so unfairly dragged for daring to want to be on the show and quote unquote capitalizing on the fact that Teresa was a cast member. It's that franchise has always been about family and they saw an extension of that and an opportunity from a willing player.
Yeah.
And then they capitalized on it. It's just, I think, ridiculous to litigate that. So that's where I think the question of her authenticity comes in is is she in it for the quote unquote, to use a reality show term, right reasons? Which is none of them are in it for morally incorruptible reasons. You know what I mean? They're all wanting to be on a reality show.
Conversely, if Teresa organically, genuinely feels like she can't get over that because she feels like she was betrayed in the manner that Joe and Melissa joined the show, and if fans in many ways, especially specific to Team Bliss, truly do find passion in what that housewife is focused on and feels is their inciting incident, they're going to be passionate about that.
Yeah.
Because they know that for Teresa, based on the number of times that she has brought it up, that this is something that she wants to feel can be acknowledged by the people she's pissed at. And it hasn't, you know what I'm saying?
But that can't be her sticking point and she's able to move on from everything else. You know what I mean?
She's not able to move on from everything
else. She presents as namaste.
Well, but we know that that's part of the shtick.
Right. But I think that's why Joe is so upset. And it's just okay, so...
I don't think that's why Joe is upset.
I
don't think it has anything to do with
it. It's a hypocrisy. It's about hypocrisy, right? It's about we can move on, you can move on, etc. And then on every blue moon, bring up this thing about how we got on the show. And yet now we have to engage in this conflict. And it's a thing I have to be reminded of. But you're not going to engage with me about the many things that I'm upset about the way you've treated my wife, the ways that you constantly give us ultimatums and disrespect us and have cut us off from your daughters and have poisoned your daughters against us. That's not a conversation that we can have because you're above it. But the stupid thing that you're still upset about for years, still gets brought up and thrown in our face. It's just her way or the highway in a way that I get why they're pissed off about and feeling resentful of a phone call that says, do you want to make peace? It's like, do you want to make peace? If I say yes, are you going to bring up how we got on the show in 6 months?
Conversely, and I literally cannot, we are in the upside down. This is the upside down right now. But conversely, Teresa,
you're doing devil's advocate.
Yeah. I mean,
love when someone advocates for the devil.
Welcome to the club.
Go off.
I mean, conversely, for Teresa, she might feel like, okay, well, you're saying you want to move on, and maybe that's because you don't want to say go fuck yourself, but then you keep fucking with me. And again, you could argue, well, Joe feels the same. It's, they're siblings. They're very similar. It's why they can't move on from this.
I think that, like, something that gets lost is, like, we're all acknowledging that they're family and that that should be a reason to make it work. Like, tons of people don't talk to their sisters and brothers. It is like a reason why you can't make it work that you are siblings, because you are dyed in the wool, like in your DNA, you feel a certain way, and there's an anger and frustration at that other person that is really hard to get over. Like, if you don't have an easy relationship with your brother and sister, conflict and resolution is not just like, oh yeah, for sure. You know, like it's they will never come back from it. Because they are who they are.
And also, welcome to the Miami reunion. That's the argument. Alexia and Larsa were like, he's your dad. You got to respect him. If he's a piece of shit, no problem.
Oh, I hated
he's
that. Your...
Versus Dr. Nicole, who was like, okay, cool. But when you say that, it makes me feel like the experiences that I had, the harm that was done to me, the damage that I had to work through as a young child through now, you're invalidating all of that. And you're also saying that boundaries can't exist when it includes a toxic parent.
Larsa is so threatened by and feels so small around Dr. Nicole. And that to me is one of the most obvious things, is like Larsa feels unserious and around Dr. Nicole, and that's why she tries to get at her in these little ways, because there's really no reason why they can't just be friends and move on. But like, Larsa's ego does not allow her to thrive in an environment where someone like Dr. Nicole, who's like legit so rich, an actual medical professional, looks like that, has a marriage now starting and getting even stronger, you know, like, it's Larsa, I really enjoy her, but to me, it's very clear she's so threatened by Dr. Nicole, and for her to be like, just get over it. Ugh, you're so, like, you can't get over it. Like, and Dr. Nicole is taking the bait where she's like, she's dumb, because that ultimately is exactly what Larsa feels like around Dr. Nicole, and Dr. Nicole is now so frustrated that she's just going to say the thing, which is, yeah, I do think that you're dumb, and I do think that I'm better than you, and that conflict is going to move forward from there. Like, that is a superiority competition that, you know, Dr. Nicole is not willing to play ball, actually, with OnlyFans foot model Larsa Pippen.
And also,
and Kardashian ex-friend.
And also, Larsa being like, your dad, who's essentially 70, fucking a 20-something, isn't weird, because I know that we're about to talk about Michael Jordan's son.
Exactly.
Which is like so funny to me, the way she immediately heard the word age and was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it never matters.
It's so transparent.
Generational differences never matter. A 90-year-old fucking a 23-year-old is perfectly fine, because I know what's about to come with my quote unquote friend.
Like, first of all,
ridiculous.
There is something. I'm sorry, but there is something deeply wrong with a 70-year-old and a 29-year-old. I'm sorry. There is something deeply wrong with it. It means that the 29-year-old has been through something that needs to be examined so they can love themselves enough to not have that situation, or it's a here for the wrong reasons reality show again trope, and the 70-year-old has a lot to examine, clearly, especially in the case of Dr. Nicole's father, about why he's dating someone 29. That is, it is wrong. It is going to traumatize the younger person, and I hope everyone is mentally healthy in that situation.
We wish them the best.
Wish them the best. In the iconic words of Meredith Marks, get well soon.
Oh my God. Listen, you need to come back ASAP.
You know I'm always down to come back.
You know I'm obsessed.
You know I
with
always
you.
Come back.
You always do.
I drive back.
Oh my God, you know I truly am, though.
I love coming here. This is such a fun show, because we don't even, here's the thing about you that I love, is that you're not even, it's not a yuck fest. Like, we get clinical about this shit.
Yeah.
We're like really getting to the root and talking character motivation. Whereas like some of these podcasts, like I love watching I love listening to something pithy and cute, but you are giving Sarah Galley MD.
Thank you. And I mean, much like Dr. Nicole, it's a quick degree Dr. for
Sarah.
Me. This is what I love. I love it. And I also, it's like, I appreciate that. And thank you so much.
That's what I like about Housewives is that, yes, it's fun and funny and stupid, but also like what I really appreciate about it is the social experiment of it all. Like me as someone who like is fascinated by people's emotions and behaviors, like that's why I love this show, especially when you add on to the idea that they know they are presenting a certain way. Like presentation versus reality is so fascinating to me.
Totally. And I also think like there's value here. We don't need to, I hate when people call it, my triggers when people call it a fucking guilty pleasure. I'm like, you don't have to feel guilt for watching, God forbid, women-led narrative storytelling that exists in the reality television field. There's still a lot of fun and enjoyment and potentially disconnection and triggers and conversation that can exist that can be deep and meaningful potentially and valuable. Well, we can find that from Housewives. I strongly disagree with anybody who brings to the table, you should feel ashamed, you should feel lesser than, or you are, I am judging who you are based on what you love. I think you look at what someone loves and how they discuss it and how they connect with it, and I think that brings up a wealth of opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, well, superiority and elitism is the most unattractive quality because it says that you think other people are worse than you, which is, you know, a slippery slope.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not sitting here being like, I think it's like when you're watching baseball every single day, there's 162 games a year. Those games are like 2, sometimes 3 hours out of your day. Like, I'm not sitting here. You're not calling it a guilty pleasure, and I'm not judging you for it.
Right.
Not to be like Larsa being like, you know, you're this, but I didn't judge you. You know what I mean? I understand that is what I said.
Oh, my God.
Like, but you know, I think it's a patriarchal society, right? It's like, we don't judge. It would be weird to say like, yeah, I watch sports, it's my guilty pleasure. Like, no one would ever say that.
No.
But it takes up as much time in real estate as watching something like this does, and even watching every single franchise does, or coming here to talk about it does. You know what I mean? It's just an interest, and ours is based in, because it's based in a
taste.
Feminine or, you know, more emotional landscape, people are like, oh, that's like indulgent and stupid and frivolous. Whereas like when we allow a society to feel like it's normal to invest in the physical, sometimes even extremely harmful in a physical way, something like football, like we don't call it a guilty pleasure.
No.
Like it's not anyone's guilty pleasure to watch people get concussions until they're mush. It's no one's guilty pleasure, but should you feel a little guilty about it? Probably part two of a discussion that we're not going to have.
Because I truly don't know.
And I think I'm like literally preaching to, I'm going to say audience that is a choir, but like, it's interesting, the guilty pleasure terminology.
And
I'll
also
say that.
Shout out to all the people who watch whatever sports stuff is on TV during shout the season.
Shout out.
And also Housewives. Those people exist.
Yeah. I mean, but it's interesting, like, it's just interesting the way that interests get talked about.
Yeah, and criticized.
And criticized, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I have no critique about how obsessed I am with you.
No notes for me, for you either.
God bless.
God bless.
Where can the people follow you? Tell them about, LOL, tell them about Las Culturistas. LOL.
Las Culturistas continues.
Okay, great.
It goes on.
Love.
It is every Wednesday. We have our episodes released. Mm. Bowen Yang and myself host a podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Las Culturistas to find out more. I'm on Instagram at Matt Rogers, though. And you were kind to plug all my projects earlier. And I would just also say that it doesn't have to be Christmas for you to stream. Matt Rogers,
oh,
have you heard
God.
Of Christmas?
It wasn't in my fucking thing.
No, and it's totally fine. But you were so kind and came to my show.
Yes, I went to the taping.
You went to the taping.
Cried multiple times.
That was a big day. And the special is out. And yeah, you can watch it because it's not Get This Actually Christmas. Like it's not, you don't have to be in the season to enjoy it. It's actually evergreen.
Also, as a Jew, I was like, yes, give me more tree, like Santa, please. I loved it, and I thought It was a tour de force that was absolutely deserved.
Oh, thank you.
And you are a Renaissance man. Oh. And I think it's helpful and important for people to see that as many times as humanly possible. And when I tell you I saved this, I could actually cry thinking about this. I had a bad day.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah. The day of the taping, and I was like, but I'm still going to go. And because I want to go and I know I will feel better as a result. And I absolutely did. And then I waited to watch the episode. I was like, I want to wait until a moment where I need this.
Oh, my God. You really are upset.
I really am because, well, you know the details, yeah, which we're not going to get into. But I just like the appreciation. I think I'm PMSing, too. I think I'm getting my period tomorrow.
That's so, okay, sweetie.
Yeah. It's so hormonal.
No, please.
But I feel like people go through things and they experience things that can be really dark and really traumatic. And like the way that gifts are given to us that help us at various times, I really, really adore you and I respect you so much. And you're special. I don't even remember how long after it came out, but I like set my candles, darkened the lights, and I was so happy. It brought me so much joy.
That makes me so happy.
It was my television EpiPen, and it really was so lovely, and I can't believe I just cried about Christmas.
No,
there's nothing less Jewish than that.
But also,
actually, maybe it's very Jewish.
I was gonna say, this is a Christmas special Jewish. That's perfect for the Jewish people.
Truly.
Because it equal parts drags and celebrates Christmas.
It's very inclusive.
It's actually about that idea.
It's very inclusive.
It's about the idea of the commercialization and let's just say wall-to-wall capitalist nightmare that is Christmas and how that gets capitalized on, and do we really know why we're doing it, or are we just participating in it for craven reasons? And I'm really proud of it, and the fact that you enjoyed it so much is, you know, that's everything to me. That's why I would do it. You know what I mean?
I want to die right now. I cannot
Don't be dying.
Believe that
What's
I
your
just
astrological
cried.
Sign?
I'm Aries. There's no
Aries.
Excuse for this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very self-focused, maybe?
I think the fact that you're able to, like,
feel things.
Yeah, feel things is, A, good.
Yeah.
And B, also, like, very refreshing. And I would imagine that, and I sometimes also feel like I have, like, an emotional hangover when I'm so honest on the podcast. And I've paid for it. You know what I mean? Like, there have been times where people have reached out to me and they said, you know, because I'm also going through a little bit of a hard time, too, and I have to manage what I say because there's other people involved. And but I will say it's always very gratifying when people reach back out and they say, thank you for saying XYZ or being real about this, or like not pretending you're not feeling an emotion and actually giving into that emotion, because I do think it's what connects us to people that listen to us every week. And it's important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously have boundaries and don't share everything.
Right.
But to hear a human voice do what yours just did, you know, that helps people because they feel less alone. And so, and also, we're not afraid of emotions like we just said.
Right.
Because we actually are interested in and appreciative of people who put theirs on display. You know what I mean? And so, not to quote Melissa Gorga.
I'm just like each and every day.
But I would say that that's something that I wanted to get across in the special too. Like, while I make jokes about emotion, there are displays of emotion that's not like other comedy specials. Mm-hmm. Not like other girls, hashtag. but, you know, I just think that don't feel embarrassed and don't feel on edge.
Yeah.
You're like,
they've also heard me cry before. It's kind of a monthly tradition.
Oh, good.
Maybe it's like
well,
every 4 days
just
earlier.
Like PMSing.
Ideally. And stuff and whatnot and words
work
is really how I feel. Guys, join the Andy's Girls Patreon and I can buy myself some fucking Kleenex. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. I do promise you that if anything important or drastic happens in my life, I will absolutely be putting it behind a paywall because I am that bitch. So
I know for you to give them this, like, not even behind
this
the paywall.
Free.
Yeah, this was free.
Imagine the tears that happen on Patreon. Actually,
Larsa Pippen would never do this with her feet.
She only wishes my 40.5 Manolo collection screaming currently. Was Instagram at Dame Galley? I don't know. Matt Rogers, a journey, a blessing, a thrill. Can't wait to have you come back ASAP.
In the words of Chanel Ayan, period, dot.
My own little mazel of the day. On that note, guys, hope you're doing okay. Okay, stop crying and listen to this up again. Bye.